Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We want to play for you a really exciting interview that Pat Robinson had the opportunity to interview Jonathan Kahn. He is a pastor, rabbi of a Messianic congregation, actually here in New Jersey, not too All far right. from me, actually, about 15 really. Minutes from me. I just found that out. And Jonathan Kahn, Pastor Kahn here, he God gave him this amazing revelation just about he wrote this book called The Harbingers, and Harbingers is a warning to America. It's a prophetic word. Mm-hmm. And my goodness, he's going to share some of that and share some hope. And it's just really, really exciting. In fact, I just want you to listen up. We'll come back and talk about this more, but you got to listen to this interview. Listen up.
What treasures of wisdom are hidden in the Bible? Many times we don't even see it. We overlook it. We read it and are not aware of what they mean. The book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 10, says, quote, "The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with hewn stone. The sycamores are cut down, but we will replace them with cedars." It's a verse of defiance of what would happen after Israel was invaded. But it's one spoken by the leaders of Israel thousands of years ago. But as our next guest explains, it's a verse that carries a prophetic significance for the United States of America.
The stock market crash in 2008, the collapse of the American economy, the horrors of 9/11. Jonathan Kahn says these events were predicted thousands of years ago in the Bible. In his book, The Harbinger Companion, Jonathan explains the parallels between ancient Israel and America and shares the secrets that bring hope for our future.
Well, Jonathan Kahn is here with us, and my dear friend, your book, The Harbinger, just moved me. It moved millions of people, become a bestseller, and it touched you. How did it affect you, this whole story?
It changed everything. I mean, I knew it would go forth. I didn't have a doubt that this was the Lord. It wasn't me. And it was a year ago I was here.
Yes.
And you said, I want Jonathan on this day. And you didn't know that was the day of the release of the book. And it went forth. It went to the New York Times that week. It has been on the New York Times every week since then. It's changed everything. I mean, for me, there's no time for anything. And it's been going forth. It just went past a million now copies, and it's been going to across denominational lines. It's been reaching the Capitol Hill. We're getting calls from or we've gotten contact from people in Congress who are reading it. It's just been going. Wow.
This verse in Isaiah was spoken when judgment was being assessed against Israel.
Yes.
With the Assyrians were going to invade.
Yes.
And this was their answer. It wasn't a faith thing. It was a rebellious
yes.
thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. This was, you know, the harbinger, you know, begins with the last days of ancient Israel. And this is a nation that had known God. I mean, you gave some stories here about what's happening in America right now.
Yeah.
And it's very dramatic. And a nation that knew God turned away from God, and God warned them. Mm-hmm. And so he allowed this strike to happen on the land. And their response, instead of turning back to God, which was what he wanted, is they defy him. Mm-hmm. And there are nine harbingers that appear in the land that are warnings of what will happen if it doesn't turn back to God. And instead of turning back, they defy him, and years later, they will be destroyed. And this is a pattern in the Bible. And with America, we are now the nation that has known God, that is turning from God, and God is warning. And the same exact pattern, the scary thing or the amazing thing, is that the same nine harbingers that appeared in the last days of ancient Israel are now reappearing on American soil. They're happening the same way, specifically beginning with 9/11, this warning strike, and now affecting everything. Some appeared in New York City. Some have appeared in Washington, D.C. Some have involved American leaders. Some involved the President of the United States. And it affects everything, and it's specific.
in Isaiah, they said, we will rebuild. And you pointed out how the leaders of our government, Tom Daschle and others,
yes,
said, quoted this very scripture, said, yes, we will rebuild.
Yeah, I mean, it's eerie, because if they had any idea what they were doing, they never would do it. And yeah, this is one of the harbingers, is that the leaders of the ancient land actually vow this vow. And so on the very day after 9/11, Tom Daschle from the Senate floor, or from the floor of Congress, says there's a word for America now. And out of his mouth comes, yeah, the ancient declaration that pronounces judgment on a nation. And then John Edwards does the same thing. And then President Obama, in a paraphrase, without realizing what he's doing, does the same thing. I mean, it's eerie, and but it's exactly word for word. And that's the mystery. It's happening. And when they said that, when Daschle said it, he didn't realize he spoke of a tree. He didn't know there was an actual tree that fell down. He speaks about the stone that's going to go up. He didn't know that's actually going to happen. He's speaking of the harbingers, and it's happening, but he doesn't realize what he's saying.
There was a stone. Tell us about the stone.
Yeah, the stone. In the book, it's the stone of judgment is the fifth harbinger, and it goes right down the vow of Isaiah. Isaiah says they vow, we will rebuild with quarried stone. That's Israel after the attack. So here's what happens. After 9/11, right, the people of New York go up to the mountains of New York. They quarry out this massive rectangular stone. It matches. It's called a biblical Gazit stone. Right. They bring it to the ground of destruction. This is the harbinger that has to be. They have a ceremony around the stone. The American leaders vows of defiance over the stone, that we're going to come back stronger than ever, just as ancient Israel did. Mm-hmm. And it's like they're reenacting exactly what happened then without realizing what they're doing.
They didn't realize they were cutting a stone in upstate New York. There was this the Gazit stone.
They had no idea, right. No idea, and every single harbinger gets fulfilled like this without people realizing what they're doing. And then you have the sycamore. And the sycamore is, it says, Isaiah said this, they will rebuild. It says the sycamores have been cut down. So what it means is, this is the sixth harbinger of the book, that there has to be the striking down of a sycamore. It's a biblical sign of judgment, a national judgment in the Bible, the cutting down of the tree. It has to happen. It has to be linked to 9/11 or the attack. And so what happens in the last moments of 9/11, an eerie thing happens, that the tower, as it's coming down, sends forth a shockwave, sends forth a beam into the air. It strikes an object. The object happens to be a tree. It happens to be a sycamore. The sycamore has fallen at the corner of Ground Zero. The people of New York, they put it on display. They make it a sign, and they call it the sycamore of Ground Zero. They think it's a great thing, and they don't realize this is the biblical sign of judgment. Everything in that verse, Isaiah, came true.
Well, they came and replanted, though, didn't they?
The next thing is right down the line, the sycamores have fallen, and the people of Israel says, well, we will plant cedars in their place. The biblical word is erez tree. It can be a cedar, can be a spruce. But they're, again, an act of defiance, saying, we're going to come back stronger, so God, you're not going to humble us. We're going to put a stronger tree here. And so what happens, the seventh harbinger is, 2 years after 9/11, a tree appears in the sky. It's at the corner of Ground Zero. Right. It's being lowered down into place, into an exact place to replace the sycamore. This is an act. This is the act, what they did in ancient Israel. Mm-hmm. That puts it down, and they call it the tree of hope. They have a ceremony around the tree. They say, this is a tree of nothing's going to stop us. And the tree is a biblical erez tree, the same tree of the Hebrew of Isaiah 9:10. They have no idea what they're doing. Nobody's planning this.
And there is like a conifer.
It's a conifer tree. Or a panache tree. Yes, and it can be a cedar. It can be a spruce. Uh-huh. And that's exactly what it was. Exactly what it was. Everything that was there, and the harbingers are the beginning. It's not the end. It's the beginning of the shaking of America. And then the next part of it, if you follow what happened to Israel, the next part is that there was a second shaking because they defied God. Yeah. So God said, well, there's going to be another one. Well, what comes after is the economic shaking of America. We're still in the shadow of it. Yeah, and it happens with the collapse, and it opens up a whole other stream of biblical mysteries. And one of them, I could just touch, is the Shemitah. And the Shemitah is that every 7 years in Israel, it was kind of like an economic wipe away,
right,
you know, as a blessing. But what happened is at the end of it, on this exact one day called Elul 29, all the nation's debts are wiped out, the accounts are wiped out, finance, all wiped away, and as a blessing. But as the nation turned away from God, the Shemitah turns into a sign of judgment. Jeremiah says that actually God uses that as the timing of judgment. Well, what does that have to do with America? You have the first shaking, 9/11. You have the second shaking, the economic collapse. Well, the Shemitah is always 7 years apart. It's a seven-year thing. So when did the collapse of the American economy happen? Happened 7 years after 2001, okay. In September, 7 years to the month of 9/11. It happened the second week of September. That's 7 years to the week of 9/11. And the greatest day of this collapse was the end of September, the greatest collapse in American history, period. Greatest collapse. When did it take place? It took place on Elul 29, the exact day appointed in the Bible for the wiping away of a nation's financial accounts as a sign of judgment of a nation that has turned away from God.
Let's repeat. This is the exact day, the Elul?
The exact day and the exact hours. And not, it's the exact hours that happened. And not only that, and if you go back 7 years, because it's a seven-year mystery, you find 2001, you have the other greatest collapse in American history up to that day. Happened after 9/11. And when did that collapse take place? It took place on the exact same Elul 29, the day of appointed to wipe away a nation's financial account. And they happened exactly 7 Hebrew biblical years apart to the day, to the hours, the two greatest collapses up to those days. And it wasn't just on any day. It only comes once every 7 years. They both happened on the exact once in 7 year.
Well, we are having the greatest financial problem in the history of this nation. I mean, there's nothing like it. I mean, the amount of debt is so insupportable. It's not just America, it's the whole world.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole
world,
there's no way out of it.
Yeah, which is also, I mean, that you just brought up something that's another sign in the Bible. It speaks, it says, if you're blessed, you follow me, you're going to lend to many nations.
Yeah.
If you turn away from me, you're going to be in debt. We went from the greatest creditor nation right. to the greatest debtor nation, just in the same way as we are moving away from God. And the harbingers, Pat, the other thing is, it's continuing. I mean, the other, we asked how it affected me. One of the things that kind of shocked me, even when my wife told me something, I didn't believe her, and I wrote the book. Mm-hmm. She said, is that what's in the book has actually been coming true, and it's actually been confirmed. It's actually continuing. It didn't stop a year ago. I mean, it's continuing. There is one of the harbingers is the tower, you know, at ground zero.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that was, with Israel, the sign was that, hey, they said, we're going to rebuild higher, bigger, stronger, but without God. And it takes the form of the tower. In an ancient translation called the Septuagint, when they first translated the Bible, they did a strange thing with Isaiah 9:10. They said, the bricks have fallen. It said, come, let us build for ourselves a tower. They literally said a tower. So that a tower is going to rise on the ground of destruction. The nation's going to do this. That's exactly what's happening in New York City. This is the harbinger that's continuing to go up. It's happening. And the idea is higher, bigger, stronger. Now, they got that verse when they said, come, let us build for a tower.
Yeah.
The rabbis got it from the Tower of Babel. Mm-hmm. And so they're linking the Tower of Babel to Isaiah 9:10. That's what they did.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you know, I found out since I wrote the book, that actually there was a scripture in the ruins of Ground Zero. There was a scripture embedded in the ruins of Ground Zero.
No, I didn't know that.
I didn't either. And this is after a real book. And it was a photographer got it. It was a charred Bible, and there was one page left. He took a picture, was whisked out. He looked at it, started weeping. And it was right there where they're going to build the tower. The scripture was, come, let us build for ourselves a tower.
And that's the Tower of Babel.
That is the Tower of Babel. And the only other place it appears in the ancient translation is Isaiah 9:10, the scripture of the harbinger in there. And so here this tower has been going up. It's been going up. And it only this year it broke through and it became the tallest building in New York. You know, it broke through, and that's the whole point of it. Mm-hmm. And the day it did, and there was a tension on this tower, it became the biggest thing. It was April 30th. In the harbinger, that's the date given for the mystery of Ground Zero. April 30th is in the harbinger. And the president, Pat, this is six months after the book came out when we were here. Yeah. The president came to Ground Zero. And they showed him a beam. This is in the summer. And they showed him a beam. It's going to be the final beam of the tower. And they said, write words on the beam. Now, you know that in the book, as the third witness, he gives this paraphrase. And the way to sum up Isaiah 9:10 in our language is simply two. We will rebuild, number one, and we'll come back stronger. He writes on the beam, we rebuild, we come back stronger. On the beam, the highest words in America, crowning the tower.
And the president wrote those words.
He wrote the very words. And when my wife told me this, I didn't believe her.
Yeah.
And when I looked at it, it's going to be the highest thing in America. It's going to be the highest. It's the words, it's a paraphrase of Isaiah 9:10.
Mm-hmm.
And in the ancient Hebrew, when they made this vow that brought destruction, it's 8 Hebrew words, Isaiah 9:10. 8 Hebrew words. The president added 2, so he put 8 English words, matching the 8 Hebrew words of Isaiah on the tower. Yeah, and the central word of both is rebuild in both the fourth word. Of, I mean, it parallels exactly. It's uncanny. And there's another one. I'll tell you, I'll throw in that you know, in the Bible, one of the signs of national judgment we spoke about is the tree. And God says, this tree, you're going to wither. It talks mm-hmm. about a nation withering, or he says, I'm going to cut off the branches of the tree. So it's a biblical sign. Well, there is one of the harbingers is this tree of hope at Ground Zero.
Yeah.
And what has happened, you know, this was a symbol of America. Well, what happened to that harbinger? If you go there, I went back. Mm-hmm. The tree of hope is withering away, withering away, withering away. They can't stop it from withering away. They literally, if you go there, the branches are, they're cutting off the branches. It's being held up by ropes. Everything around it is green, but the tree is withering, and everything right next to the tree is withering away. They can't do that. A sign of a nation that spiritually is withering. I mean, you know, and while America is saying we're going to get stronger, without coming back to God, it's withering. And I'll just mention one other thing which I didn't know back then, is God was actually, I believe, was actually connecting this together before I even wrote the book and to millions of Americans. There's something called the one-year Bible, and we all know it. It's, you know, and every day you've got a day and you got a thing to read. Well, I didn't realize, if you go to the one-year Bible, almost any one-year Bible, and you open up to find Isaiah 9:10, right, and you look at the top, you'll see a date. It says September 11th. On
really?
Every one-year Bible, it links together the verse that is about the first strike of judgment. To it gives the date 9/11, and the one-year Bible came out years before 9/11. And people are reading every year on 9/11. They're opening up to Isaiah 9:10. It's saying, and here is the first, talking about the first strike. It's giving the date, and even and next to it they have a psalm they put next to it, and the psalm says there will be destruction in the city. Destruction in the city, and the word it uses for destruction is in Hebrew it means devastation, mm-hmm. but it also means something in Arabic. In Arabic, the same word in the Bible means Islamic fanaticism or fanaticism. The word is Hamas. It's in the Bible.
Hamas,
and it is there. You can look at it for nine. You'll see 9/11. It speaks of an attack. Speaks of fanaticism. Speaks of Isaiah 9:10. It was all there. For every year for America, millions of Americans.
This is unbelievable. John, what comes next?
I was watching the show from the background, right. And it is clear, you know, America right now, as a mainstream culture, is still turning rapidly from God, the culture.
That's right.
And as long as it does, if it does, the pattern is there will be shaking and shaking, and until America either returns to God, there's revival, or there is calamity or destruction. And I believe, I mean, people say, is there hope? You know, and I believe if there was no hope, there wouldn't be any harbingers. What's the point of warning if there's no hope? And one of the things we talked about last time was this mystery ground, that the mystery of Ground Zero goes back to this place where America was dedicated to God, and that's where it came. The message is return and come back. And there's something strange. I mean, that the harbinger, I mean, this year was a real tipping point, I think, in many ways. Mm. And yet the harbinger came out. So I believe that there's this parallel and that there's a warning, but God is calling. And it's the key is if my people.
Yes.
I mean, because if we were the salt of the earth we're supposed to be, America wouldn't be as such. If we were the light, it wouldn't be as such. And so the thing is that it's if my people, and the call goes out. And that's why I believe this is going out now. We have to turn to God. We have to be the lights as never before. If it's getting darker, the lights have to get brighter, and we get more radical. But this is the time, and this is the reason. There is hope, but the hope is only in Yeshua. You know, in Hebrew, the word for people say, "How can I be safe? Should I build a bomb shelter?" In Hebrew, the word for safety is Yeshua, and Yeshua is Jesus. His only hope is Jesus. That's it.
Brother, I just thank God for you and for the work you've done. Ladies and gentlemen, The Harbinger, we mentioned before, it's a national bestseller, 1 million copies. This is The Harbinger Companion Jonathan has put together to give you a little bit more insight. It's extraordinary.
Wow, wow,
amazing.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Listen, God is warning us when we are hearing this in surround sound, if you will. I mean, this is technocolor. It's written in the Bible, foretold.
Wow.
I mean, that alone. I mean, one warning, two warnings, three warnings. I mean, there's warnings everywhere. And the fact that this was predicted in the book of Isaiah, foretold way in advance. One coincidence, two coincidence, nine coincidence? Nine?
Right.
Nine? And you know what was, when I first heard about that scripture in Isaiah, that was, he said that he found out afterwards was in the one-year Bible.
Yeah.
Well, I actually have 2 1-year Bibles
yeah.
of 2 different brands, if you will, or
yeah.
different, you know,
translations.
Ones that were published. There were 2 different ones.
Mm-hmm.
And on 9/11, would you believe that they're both those scriptures are there on September 11th?
Yeah, I just read that scripture in one of my 1-year Bibles. I didn't happen to look at the date. I can't wait to go back and look now.
Isn't that amazing? I have 2 separate 1-year Bibles, 2 separate
yeah.
different ones. And on 9/11, it has that scripture and the psalm that he's talking about in for that day's reading. Because the way the 1-year Bible goes, it's, you know, it's January 1st, 2nd, all the way, all the days. And there's a proverb, a psalm, a New Testament, and an Old Testament scripture for each reading for each day.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidence? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Psalms 55:11. It says, destructive forces at work in the city, threats and lies never leave its streets. And it's like, wow, the Lord has been warning us. The Lord has told us prophetically, which we've been sharing with you, our VFN radio listeners. And that's why we're on VFN radio, to prepare and to warn the church and for us to be ready and get ready. And the whole point of this, the whole point of the warnings, is there is hope.
Mm.
God wouldn't give us a warning. There's always a choice. You know,
you
if you keep going on the path that you're on, then this is going to happen. But if you heed and make the choice to turn back to God and repent, then there's hope that God will restore us and bring us back. And listen, we are contending for a third great awakening. We are contending for an awesome move of God. Let me tell you, the country is ripe to turn to the Lord, but it must start with us. It must start with the church. If my people, who are called with my name, turn from their wicked ways, right?
That's right.
He will hear us, heal us, touch our land. So it starts with us. I want to encourage you. Look, ask the Lord, inspect my heart.
Yeah.
Know if there's any offensive way in me and leading me to the way everlasting. Lord, start with me. Start with me. And let us be the beginning of helping to not just turn the church back to the Lord, but to turn an entire nation back to God. And we just finished hearing a riveting interview between Pat Robertson and Jonathan Kahn, who is a pastor, rabbi of a Messianic congregation here in New Jersey, who God gave him just this revelation, just showed him in God's word, 9 harbingers, 9 warnings that were given to Israel during a time that Israel was about to face judgment. And would you believe that those same harbingers, those same warnings, those same predictions are being given on American soil? And it all started with 9/11. It all started with 9/11.
Yeah, sure did.
We're talking about, listen, this is not a coincidence. This is not a happenstance. I mean, this is a book, a revelation of just, I mean, one upon another, upon another, upon another, upon undeniable,
mm-hmm.
undeniable, not coincidences, but occurrences that are saying, hey, listen, this is a wake-up call. This is a wake-up call for us to repent, to turn back our hearts to God. I have just in my limited studies of American history and my mm-hmm. limited time here alive in this country, I have not seen such turmoil. I have not seen such a place where the nation is at in terms of, my goodness, we need God.
Yeah.
We need God with this book. If you haven't gotten it, we encourage you to read it. It's called The Harbinger. It's about a year. It's been out already, and
mm-hmm.
it's over 1 million copies already sold. New York Times bestseller from the first time it was released.
Mm-hmm.
The book has, this book revelation has gone across the country and the world and even to Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
And I was speaking with you, Pat, not too long ago that Jonathan Kahn actually shared this same word at the inaugural, inaugural breakfast.
Right. Yeah. I remember that.
It was a 30-minute let it rip, speak English truth. You know, just speaking truth to power. And this is the time that we're living in. We have to be able to speak truth to power. We got to be people of righteousness, people that are totally dependent upon the Lord. But we have to start with us first. We got to start with the church first. I mean,
That's
how
right.
can we? How can we talk to a nation? How can we talk to the world about turning back to God if the church itself is just in sin, you know, and is away from God?
That's right.
It starts with us. It starts with us. And let me tell you something. It's more than just a song. It's more than just, we have to search our hearts. There's a psalm that says, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me to the way of everlasting."
That's right.
Lead me to the way of everlasting. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to prayerfully go after God, prayerfully turn everything that is hindering you and from going after the Lord, and get the sin out.
Yeah.
God just wants us to confess it and repent from it. Mm-hmm. And also to believe with us, to believe for an awesome move of God that stretches from coast to coast, that reaches every person in every socioeconomic background, to every person in the country, every tribe, that we could have a country, a people that would say, "Listen, we done tried everything else. We need God. We need God."
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.